Welcome to Live, Behind the Veil, an atmosphere where men and women of God speak His word to this age and bring His kingdom to this earth. Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see what God is doing in this hour? Let us join our host and the family's conversation as the Holy Spirit is unfolding the word behind the veil.
There's two ways to go to Jerusalem, two ways to go to Israel. The first way is to go to a tourist. Don't go as a tourist. Mm-hmm. Get a hold of a travel company like a Me Center, because it's going to be a life-changing experience what they're offering. And that's what you want to go to Jerusalem for. And there's nothing like walking the same place where Jesus walked, where Abraham walked, where all the things we read in the scripture. Galilee is probably the most unspoiled, untouched part of what they call the Holy Land that there is out there.
But it's interesting, the mount where the Sermon on the Mount was given. Did you go up there, Dale? Oh my gosh. We walked up the hill probably at least a quarter mile, and it was just an incredible experience because it's better than an amphitheater.
Wow.
That voice carries, no matter what, it carries, and it goes a long way. So it's very easy that 5,000 people could have been there to hear what he had to say and actually heard what he said.
Wow.
And then right behind it is probably his secret place that he went to pray. And it's a little, what do they call, grotto. It's a small cave in that side of that mountain. There's this little grotto, and there's room in there for probably three people, maybe. And right now, they have a bench in there, and you can go in there and sit. What a great place, because it oversees the Sea of Galilee. And he probably saw when the disciples were in trouble, when they went out fishing and the storm came and Jesus walked on the water. You have to experience it because it makes the scriptures come alive.
To have Christ stand at the bottom of that hill and speak in a normal tone of voice, and the guy at the very top can hear him like he's standing there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's awesome about the Holy Land. You can't believe what you see in Hollywood. It's a much greater story. And it's a much greater unraveling of mysteries, and especially about the scriptures. If you go there and in Jerusalem, you understand where the Mount of Olives is, you understand where Golgotha is, and you understand where the Temple Mount is. All of a sudden, when you read in the scriptures, it comes alive. And you understand that God worked in such a small area. Clear from Abraham to the wilderness to the crucifixion to the ascension. It takes away a fog. It takes mm-hmm. away, and what it does is it ignites an interest in what you're reading. I don't know of any American Christian who went to Israel and was not changed, whether you went as a tourist or went as a student. And it's also what you take with you. If you take in your heart, I want to learn as much about these things as I can, you'll never leave. If you want to go and have a good time, it's a good time.
They do have a Hard Rock Cafe there. It's actually in Tel Aviv. It's not really in Jerusalem. So, but it says Jerusalem on the shirt. So.
What about Ben Yehuda? Ben Yehuda Mall.
Yeah.
Ben Yehuda Mall.
Do you remember we were there, and then when one of the attacks happened from Hamas, they attacked the Ben Yehuda Mall. To know, you know, having stood on that street, you know, and on the sidewalks and going into those shops and knowing how awesome those people are when you talk with them and shop with them. You know, they're just wonderful people. And then to hear that it got attacked, it's just heartbreaking.
Joppa, oh, Next to Galilee, Joppa. Oh, boy, that was cool. You can look out. Did you look out over the ocean? And you could see where they had literally torn down civilization after civilization and threw it into the ocean. You could still see the stones and the blocks and the columns and all that kind of stuff.
We went into the place where Peter was up on the roof when the angel met him and told him, go up north because you're going to meet some Gentiles and it's okay. Don't you call unclean what I call clean.
Right.
And so we went into that place where he was up on the roof when that took place. And we went up into Caesarea. And, you know, the points, it's just incredible, the stories and the feel. You go to the beach in one part near Caesarea and you see the Roman aqueducts. Mm. Still there, but they don't function, of course, but they're still there. And you could tell whoever designed those, you have to have just the right amount of fall so that the water trickles. It doesn't pour out. It kind of trickles. It flows, you know, gently, not radically. And so very, very wonderful and interesting to see and to be a part of, to experience, you know.
Well, you know, another one was the trip through the desert.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow. And it was stop and see the Bedouins. We spent an evening in the Bedouin tents partying.
Yeah.
And that was great fun because their life has not changed from that era. What about the visit to the Dead Sea, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yep.
Oh, man. And you know, they're still looking through those caves because they believe there are more scrolls to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that gives, if you go that area, it gives you a whole new insight into who John the Baptist was.
Absolutely.
And how
he was part of that.
That's where he lived.
Yep.
And he was a part, a sect of Judaism. And you know, Christ talks about a guy, you know, the way he's dressed and what he ate and all this kind of stuff. And you go out there and it makes a difference.
It does.
To see it. And it brings alive. Christ walked out there to see him.
Absolutely.
You know, and think about that. We drove on an air-conditioned bus to go.
Yes, we did.
Go out there and see him. And it just makes the scriptures so alive. And also, it connects us to our elder brother.
It was wonderful to go to the En Gedi right there and see the cave where David hid and Saul slept. And David cut the tassel off of his tallit, and that's what identified him as the king. And that's what he gave back to Saul. You know, he said, I could have taken your life.
All what we've talked about doesn't even touch the museums, the Holocaust museums. Almost every Christian denomination is represented in Jerusalem. And they all have their own temples and churches and stuff like that. All that's open. You have the museum dedicated to the Dead Sea Scrolls. Every trip was awesome.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have gone into that grotto where they worshipped.
That's where we worshipped, and they thought there were angels.
Oh, my.
And this group, this whole big crowd came outside the grotto while we were worshipping, and they thought that we were angels, and they were so disappointed when they saw us.
But it would have been so awesome to worship in there.
I would have loved that. You know, as you say that, it reminds me, one of the lessons that we learned was about the Netzer and the Hesed.
Mm-hmm.
The Netzer Hesed together make up the basis of the word for Nazareth. And for some reason, there are no capital letters in Hebrew. They are bold. They're the only two letters that are bold in the entire Old Testament. The rabbi said, he said that that was where and how the wise men knew to come to Jerusalem, to Israel, to come find Jesus when he was born, because of that Netzer Hesed means Nazareth. That's a piece of the scriptures that they were reading that caused them to come into Israel to find Jesus. And then people don't realize they didn't come when he was newborn. He was 3 or 4 years old. I'm sorry, that's not true. It's the other way around. He was 1 to 2 years old. And then they gave him the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they used that as traveling money to go to Egypt so that Jesus wouldn't be slaughtered by Herod.
Right.
Prior to the temple being destroyed and the following the destruction of the temple, there was a group of Jewish Christians who were called the Nazarenes. And you can follow them through history, because they were a group that stayed the closest to being Jewish and still believing in Christ. And they're called the Nazarenes. But that word has had a lot of applications based upon its importance. And I think that's one of the things that's really cool about scriptures and about the Bible and about reading things like that, and especially get back into the Hebrew, is how clearly descriptive the words that they used. And you were talking about the story of Noah. And, you know, there were no whales in that sea, but it was a giant fish. There's more to it, as you find out, but they just called it a whale. And there's so many mysteries in both New and Old Testament, and there, it's just an unfolding of a greater understanding. It's part of the change that happens to anyone who goes.
The one thing that was very interesting is the United States is known as the land of the free, and going into Israel, you know there's not that much freedom in the United States. Because when you experience the freedom that is in Israel, you know full well that that freedom does not exist here in the United States. It's an amazing, amazing spirit that's on that place. You know, the interesting thing is like the Jews and Arabs and stuff, they get along. And in fact, border of Lebanon and Israel, there's a gate in this fence. It's left open. And they cross, they go back and forth, and they trade back and forth, and everything's hunky-dory until one of the leaders says, no, we're going to fight them now. Then they close the gate. You know, and it's just a sad state of affairs, because it's the politics that, and the news media does not help one bit, because you never hear the truth of what's happening over there. I mean, nobody tells the truth. Nobody. Liberals, the conservatives, the neutral press, it doesn't matter, the press, they can't, you cannot describe what really happens in Israel at all.
Well, we were thankful for that, what you're talking about, because that one night my friend and I got lost, and Linda and I got lost when we went into Jerusalem in the late afternoon, and we had some free time while we were over there, and we walked into the Arab quarter. And I mean, we didn't go 2 or 3 feet or 20 feet. We must have walked a half an hour. And we got off of the main road, and we went into this one area, and we were all surrounded by people's houses. You know, if they're not like our houses, you know, big built,
right,
stuff like that. And finally, a guy come up to me. He says, you know, you guys, we know you're lost. We want to direct you back to where you need to be, to where it's safer. He wasn't threatening, but he let us know that we needed to leave. And, of course, our reaction in both cases was a lot more, because we had seen, we were conditioned by what we've seen on TV, all the stories we heard. But that's not what we meant there. And even on the Temple Mount, there was respect. and there was honor. On the Temple Mount, there's a building, I can't remember its name, but the Arabs and the Jews are fighting over its ownership and everything, so they have a third party come in and open it up. They take care of it, and they close it up. They won't even let each other take care of it. And it was some type of chapel or something, I don't remember, but it's amazing how it really is compared to what is projected by the media. Like the Bedouins, those people are really cool, and they loved everybody. And it wasn't false. You know, it wasn't like a bunch of people, okay, we got some tourists coming, here comes the money. No, they were really neat. And they really treated you like, it's like you were a friend who came to visit. The spirit that God has placed over that place is really different than people are led to believe.
That's really the truth. It's interesting, you go through and look at the buildings and you see the bullet holes. Well, they didn't, not really holes, they're just where the bullet hit the wall and left an indentation, because it's just rock. It's rock. But yeah, you see that. And we drove by on the highway from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. You see these tanks on the side of the road that were left there from the 1966 war, you know, 10-day war.
Wow.
And an interesting thing, there is rumor that the media plays on that says that if the Jews regained control of the Temple Mount, that they would destroy the Dome of the Rock building. But that's not true, because on this one particular building that's an example is where Constantine's mother built, where she felt Jesus was crucified and buried. And up on the roof of that, there is this 4-foot ladder that's been there since the 1300s.
Wow.
And they will not take it down because it's a historical factor, you know. And they're not out there to destroy what someone else did. That's not what they're about. They're about being inclusive. And so, and in fact, the interesting thing is people think that the temple was where the Dome of the Rock is, and it's not. You find the Golden Gate, the entrance of the temple is where the Golden Gate led into. When you came in through the Golden Gate, you walked up the stairs into the temple from there. Of course, not everybody could do that back then, but still, that's the depiction. And so it's off to one side, whereas the Dome of the Rock is almost right in the center. And then you have Solomon's Grotto on the other side, where he kept his horse at the stables, the Solomon stables.
You like you mentioned Solomon's stables. Everybody thinks about this big barn painted red, and it's got hay inside, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. Their stables and the places where they kept their animals were caved. And it's amazing how to see it firsthand. It just changes the way you think.
It's life. It's alive over there. It really is.
Experiencing the impartation of God's word through his family is life. Has this time in his presence blessed you? Then please subscribe to our podcast at livebehindtheveil.com. If you would like to contact the family with questions or topics that you would like discussed, you can email them to livingepistles@livebehindtheveil.com. Stay connected, tuned in, and grow with the family as the Lord unveils his word to us live behind the veil.